'Tis the season for packages appearing on your doorstep like Christmas magic. You know what else is magic? Rakuten. With Rakuten, you save money by getting cash back at over 400 plus brands like M&S, Harvey Nichols, Oliver Bonus, Nike, and Expedia. You can even get up to 15% cash back on top of Christmas sales. That's savings on savings. So, make sure you shop with Rakuten to get the best deals on presents for everyone on your list, including yourself. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or download the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.co.uk.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
So back to Mauricio and PK, and PK is like, you know, when we started off dating, we were like fucking Bonnie and Clyde. She was my shadow. We were together. And I'd go out and she'd come home and she'd stylize the evening. She'd socialize. She would take a big plexiglass disc and put it on the evening. She'd stylize it so much. But then we had babies. I'm not saying I'm blaming the babies, but she started to suck after the babies came. So what can I say? Just started gone downhill from there.
He is totally being like this and he's crying like he's such a victim. Babe, you still want to go out and party like you're 30 years old? And Dorit wants to like stay home and take care of your children. He's acting like, God damn it. And then suddenly we have to be there for these little idiots. Like, yeah. Gross.
Yes, yeah, this is a lesson to people. Sir. This is a lesson to people. Don't get into relationships with like music managers or people who like work in record companies because they just want to go out and party. And the moment you're like, okay, well, we have kids. We should do more homebody things. He's like, Berlin's playing down the street. I'm not going to miss that.
To even be more judgmental and finger pointing, don't marry a man who leaves his family for you because that's really not going to be a great man. Sorry, he's not going to be good to your family. Like, he's not just going to suddenly become a good person. You know what I mean? He's going to get his way or he's going to fucking leave. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's a selfish fuck, you know? And that's not to say everything in the marriage is PK's fault and none of it's Dorit's. I don't know everything in the marriage, but I do know that that's a shitty person and he's not just going to suddenly become not shitty.
Yeah. So then Dorit and Kathy are still talking and, you know, they're just talking about having to work it out. And Dorit tells us, you know, I chose to stick by PK's side, do a bunch of public scrutiny, like the bankruptcy, gambling debts, suspected DUI, the raccoon he ran over, all that kind of stuff. I can go on and on. There's more you don't even know about. It's like, yes.
The time he stole the gambling debts from a raccoon that he just run over. It was very terrible.
Yes, you don't ever want to run over a raccoon with a top hat. So, is there a way we can meet in the middle? Obviously, but not with someone like PK. It's black, it's white, it's black, it's white. Nah, nah, hey, I'm sorry, what are we talking about?
Kathy's like, I love that song.
My dear friend.
One of my favorite songs. I played it at Paris's Sweet 16.
I'm just trying to say, things are getting really bad.
Love that one too. God, all the hits.
So now it's time to get ready for the Salvador. This is where Dorit says,
at the very least, best case scenario, we're best friends forever and co-parent our kids. And then we realize we're not supposed to be married, which is not.
Yeah, good luck. That's not a ways away. Yeah. But by the way, this was significant her little monologue before, because the way she so casually mentions, oh, the bankruptcy, the gambling debts, the suspected DUIs, these were things that she always tiptoed around and always kind of put a little bit of a spin on it, you know, but now she's just like, yeah, this. It was kind of shocking to me when I heard her just outright say those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to burn it all down now.
I'm not protecting him.
And didn't he say at one point, we're like Bonnie and Clyde? And I thought that was so funny because I think these two are such criminals and scammers, like fakers. And so it's funny that he frames it like that. By the way, Bonnie and Clyde didn't end well. So
no, didn't really start well either, to be honest.
Yeah, the middle was good though. They had fun in the middle, that's for sure.
Yeah, when people compare themselves to Bonnie and Clyde, I'm like, I don't think that's a model of a great relationship.
Like Romeo and Juliet. Like, like, did you stay till the end of that one?
Like Medea and anyone.
Yeah, I don't think anybody says that. This is a real Medea relationship.
I'm talking about, of course,
that one.
The Greek tragedy, not Tyler Perry's. So
I don't think anybody wants a relationship compared to either of those.
Well, Medea's always getting into trouble. She's like in jail. She's always in jail. It's like Medea goes back to jail. It's like, I don't know if I want to be in a relationship with Medea either, to be honest.
Medea just basically follows Ernest movies. Remember? It's like Ernest goes to camp. Medea goes to camp. Okay. Ernest goes to jail. Medea goes to jail. Okay, Medea. Back off of Ernest's nut. Okay.
Medea goes to rehab. Wait. That's sad.
PK is Medea. He's a full-blown hoolie.
So Sutton is getting dressed. Her stylist is there putting antlers on her head. And she's like, do I look weird? And they're like, yeah. She's like, well, is this your idea of surrealism? They're like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just looked it up on Google this afternoon. She's like, okay, that's good enough.
So she's in little ballet slippers and some kind of like, I don't know, black dress and stuff. So when we see Erica, she looks crazy. She's getting basic. Her surreal is like pink eye. Surrealism.
Pink eye.
I just want to look like a little girl who poops and then touches her eyes. Go for it, boys.
Yeah, she winds up ultimately looking like a Guillermo del Toro creature.
Which was badass, by the way.
I thought it was amazing. Ended up looking
really fucking cool.
I thought it did seem like very surreal.
Yes, and the shoulders with her eyes were shoulders. I loved it.
Yeah.
We used to go see Kyle now, and Kyle is, you know, putting on her heels and stuff, and she FaceTimes Kathy, and she's like, I'm just trying to decide what to wear with this name, and Kathy's like, how about a turban?
Turbans are so surreal. It's like, it's like fabric, but not lying down. That's surreal. It's wrapped up.
So then we go to Dorit's, and she's getting glam done. And Dorit, by the way, is being foreclosed on. So, you know, every time I see this, I'm like, oh, there she's lucky Emily's not on this show. What are you doing getting glam?
Kyle's like, well, guess what? I'm getting 5 closed on. I guess just like a little bit more scary than Dorit.
Yeah.
So Erica's like, so what are you wearing? She's like, oh, Erica, it's a fitted fishtail and this massive plexiglass disc on my head. She's like, oh, wow, that's really surreal. What are you talking about? Oh, for the party. Oh, I haven't decided yet for the party. This is just to go to Trader Joe's.
She's like, well, as far as I know about seeing Kyle, you know, it is what it is. We're going to have to do it sometime, aren't we? Well, we're going to do it for the record on my head, damn it.
So, listen, there's nothing like coming in to have a big fight with someone dressed like a lazy Susan. I say, you go.
Yes, thank you. I love those kind of hats, by the way. Those hats from the 80s, the big, that severe brim. I love a severe brim. So then we cut to Kyle and Kathy, and Kyle's like, obviously, with the news that came out, my instinct was to send a message. I feel weird to send a message to PK, but not Dorit. But if I send a message to Dorit, she's going to say it's a manipulation. Well, Kyle, if it's a sincere message, you can live in the truth of knowing you sent it sincerely. And if she thinks it's a manipulation, she's going to think that, whatever, that's not up to you. But you're like, wouldn't you rather do the right thing rather than be so concerned about what she's going to think about it. Like, please stop trying to make yourself the victim in the situation when she's the one going through a separation. Just send a text message. And the fact that she's not willing to send that text message just shows that she's just really a shitty friend.
I just think it's funny that she doesn't think sending PK a text message is going to look like a manipulation to her.
Right? That is the more manipulative move, by the way.
Yeah. So then
I got really angry really quickly just now, Ronnie.
So then we go to Dorit and Erica's chat, and Dorit's like, you know, the timing of a message is very, very convenient. Very, very. They're very calculated. And Dorit does the whole, you both have valid points, yada, yada. Are we still talking? Why have you not asked me about my music career at least one time? Come on, Dorit.
So Kyle's like, I know who I am, and I know what my intentions are, which is why I didn't send the text message, because she's going to accuse me of manipulating. But that's all I care about. So you don't get to say and do these things that are showing yourself not to be my friend and expect me to continue to treat you the same. I am not a doormat. I'm like, okay, Kyle, so this lady's marriage is falling apart and you're still going to make it about you.
Yeah, you're not the doormat. You're the fucking muddy shoes, Kyle. So then we go to Sudden Surrealism Party, and there's synchronized swimmers, and there's like circus people, and like an alpaca.
Very popular alpaca. And people are showing up. And then there's like a walkthrough. This Nicole is the party planner, walking through and everything. And Sutton is very happy with how everything looks. And we see that 4 hours earlier, it was not up to her standards, but now it is. And Sutton's like, I love this party. There's a woman on stilts with three faces, but enough about Kyle. There's also an alpaca. There's swimmers in the pool. There's oddities at the bar. Fashion is odd. It's surreal sometimes. Let me see what everyone can come up with.
And there's like a collage of eyes on the floor. And the party.
Not one melted clock. Not one melted clock. I mean, hello, Dolly.
Not a one. So then she's talking to the party planner. She says, well, I guess this looks a lot better than it did this morning. Kind of must be hell to work for Sutton. We see the morning. Sutton comes out. They're not done. They've just started setting up. So it's like, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's gross.
I feel like Sutton must be very difficult to work for or work under.
Yeah.
So Jennifer Tilly arrives first. She's wearing like a black swan, Bjork kind of thing, you know, wrapped around her neck. And she's like, oh,
this looks amazing. It's so gorgeous and glamorous. Oh, God, you look fantastic, too. You look great.
So then Dorit comes, and she's got her silver chrome mermaid dress with a giant silver disc hat. And then she trips. She's like,
holy shit, fuck. I'm walking like Piki, the full-blown alky.
The music, it really sounds like it is like the finale of Game of Thrones, where everyone is assembling to determine who will get the throne. It's like, oh, boom, oh, boom. Every time someone comes out of their sprinter van, everything freezes. They put like some like image of Los Angeles behind them. And it's like, and now another one enters the ring.
I just, there's a monkey there. And they're like, look, it's a monkey. And I just love thinking of Tanya from Chimp Crazy just being,
well, here's your monkey. Just go ahead and leave it in. You guys having some kind of party here? No one's going to invite me. I guess that's all right. I got to get another monkey up to the north. But I could stay if you want me to. I don't really have to. Right, I'll just be out my car if anybody wants me.
Yeah, I'll just be down looking at the things of Beverly Hills. So I thought the exact same thing. I immediately thought about Tanya.
Tonky B.
So everyone's saying hi, hello. And Sutton's like, oh, Dorit, do you have a plate on your head? She's like, yes. And you both look fabulous. Yes, it is a plate. So everyone's like, Sutton's like, what the hell is Dorit wearing? This is not surreal.
I love that she was making fun of her at the surreal party. She's like, that is modern, not surreal. Damn, somebody is in the wrong wing of the art museum.
She's like, oh, are you wearing a condom? She's like, what? All that plastic. She's like, it's not plastic, it's rubber. Goodness. Gee.
So then a new SUV pulls up and we meet Baz. Dun, 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 dun. And she's gorgeous and she is dressed to the tens. I mean, she looks amazing. Oh my God. And her hair is amazing. She's a Barbie doll for sure.
Yeah, she has all these like ruffles, and she's just like this big giant gown. And she has an assistant who's like moving her train around the entire party. It's not just when she gets out of the Sprinter van. I spotted him like no matter what. This guy, the entire night, it was his job to make sure that train was in the right place at the right time.
Gotta love it. That's what we need, people. And so Boz is like, oh my God, first of all, this headdress setting, I can't. And she's like, I know, I don't get too close to it because I'm going to poke somebody's eye, and I'm sure of it. And she's like, we'll get stuck together. Because she's all balls, you know, she's like these huge balls in the train.
Yeah. And Dorit has been like intermittently taking off her disc because it's probably heavy or something. So she's like, oh God, new cast member. So she like puts on this like this frisbee on her head, and she walks on over, and she's like, okay, well, Bose, this is Dorit, okay, and this is Bose, and she's gorgeous, and she told me today, I gotta have my assistant get me out of the car. Isn't that funny? And Bozema's like, yeah, he might be under here. Hold on 1 second. Let me just kick my leg back. Ow! Yeah, he's under my dress right now.
So then Dorit's like, Bose, what's he do? And she's like, well, I'm recently retired from 25 years. Yes, 25 years in corporate America. I was the chief marketing officer of Netflix, the chief marketing officer of Uber, the chief marketing officer at Endeavor, which owns WME. So I've done a lot of things. I'm just chief officering of everybody here. I actually own this entire block now. So that's what I'm doing here. Okay. How about you, Toots?
Wow. So you're chief. Officer, that's amazing. So you're basically corporate America, all wrapped up in one fabulous human being. She's like, yes, yes, I am. So,
ballyhoo capitalism, that's what I say.
Dorit's like, am I allowed to say you go, girl?
Bose is like, please don't. So, Sutton's like, yeah, Bose is the real deal. People might pretend to be the boss, but she's the boss.
She's literally the boss. So then Jennifer, who's Jennifer? She's somebody new, there's like, right?
Is she like a friend of? She's like a lady who just sort of like appears and then is like...
Decadenay. Jennifer Decadenay. Was that her name? No, that was Amanda, right? I remember that name. Hold on, let me look it up. Decadenay. I just looked up Decadent.
Jennifer Decadenay.
Amanda DeCadenette's best night ever with Courtney Love. What? Amanda DeCadenette recalls her best night at the 1995 Vanity Fair Oscars party. Who this? Oh my gosh.
Jennifer is Jennifer Tilly. Famous. It's Jennifer Tilly.
Okay, I know, but I want to know now. Oh, that makes sense. But I want to know now who Amanda DeCadenette is. Or DeCadenette.
I don't know, but like it's so funny. Jennifer, out of context, we're like, who is Jennifer? Meanwhile, we spent like 45 minutes talking about her at the top of the episode. We're like, Jennifer, I'm not familiar. Is that a new cast member? Because
she has to be Jennifer Tilly. She's not just a Jennifer. She's Jennifer Tilly, you know? I don't know. Jennifer has couches, you know? Jennifer's couch, Jennifer Leather or whatever.
It's convertibles. Yeah.
Yeah, convertibles. Jennifer Tilly's very specific.
Yes. So Jennifer Tilly's like, if I ever get married in Las Vegas, I'm going to come and borrow that dress from you. And Son's like, well, I want to go see the alpaca right now. So they're all just kind of like doing stuff, saying hi. Oh my God, you look amazing. Everyone, Dorit is like, my first impression of Bose is, wow, this is a woman that understands the assignment. She's stunning. Which is funny because Dorit often misses the assignment.
So then they're taking photographs and all that stuff, talking about the alpaca, and then Dorit and Boz start bonding, and she's like, so how are you doing? She's like, meh.
Well, let me tell you, have you ever dealt with a little something called a full-blown alcoholic?
I know, literally, this is the dialogue. Boz goes, how are you doing? She goes, why are you well, my husband and I decided to separate. Take some time apart. She goes, I'm sorry, he's an alcoholic. That is literally, it is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines of dialogue back and forth before Dorit just is like, yes, he's an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. If you ever see him around, you can give him a dunce cap and just write alcoholic on it.
And Boz is like, okay. Well, we just discovered. And actually, he's on a journey of sobriety doing the steps in the program. Unfortunately, the steps are a little wobbly. What does it mean? Because it's not just a little bit alcoholic. It's full-blown.
So she's like, oh, good for him. Yes, 9 years married, small children. And Bozma's like, okay, if we're going to do this game, let me just stop you right now.
I was saving this for a special episode, but since you're just putting your dick on the table right now, let's just go for it. I'm widowed. She's like, oh, and I'm sorry, but also jealous. Is that weird?
Thank you. But the reason why I empathize with you is that 10 years into our marriage, we separated.
Oh.
And we never got divorced. And then he got sick and we reconciled and he had cancer. She's like, I'm also the CMO of having the saddest story here. So don't even try. Don't even try. Not saying that facetiously, by the way. I meant more like whatever setbacks you've had in your life, mine are bigger. So stop it right now. This is my coming out episode, not yours.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history. Presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Pearlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Pearlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So she's like, wow, so how am I confessing all this when we've just known each other 20 minutes? And Dorit's like, ooh, literally. And she goes, I mean, ridiculous, right? I mean, we're here to socialize. We're invited to socialize. And then here we are just standing in the middle of the party having a therapy session. You fucking weakling.
Yes, therapy, much like the one, a therapy session, much like the one that PK has to go to now that he's acknowledged that he's a full-blown alcoholic.
Of course, his involves a bunch of people sitting around in a circle, of course, waiting to be given a chip. That's the only way they could get him to go. I said, you better go to rehab. He said, I will not. And I said, they'll give you a chip. He ran like there were hills.
So Bozma's like, well, I can tell if I like someone instinctually. Like, I look you in your eye and I'm like, nope, not a good person. Yep. A good person. Yep, I'm in love. I hate you. Oh, I'd like to throw one in. I'd like to throw one in there. Full-blown alcoholic. Sometimes you can just see it. You can just see it.
So she loves Dorit. And Dorit's like, well, I don't know how old you are, but you look 12. So she's like, well, I'm 47, but thank you. But they're the same age. So they're like in love right now. So
yes. So then Garcelle shows up and her friend Amanda...
DeCadenay, new Courtney Love. So I Googled her and literally every link is like this time that Amanda DeCadenay was with Courtney Love. So that's all I really know about her. Amanda. But we'll see. I'll look more for next time, guys. Everyone in the comments is going to be like, you idiots.
Amanda She's a British DeCadenay photographer.
Of the DeCadenay of Cadenays? Come on.
Wow. I'm getting nothing. In fact, it's actually like freezing my computer looking up Amanda DeCadenay. Maybe I shouldn't look it up anymore.
The DeCadenay curse.
Yeah.
So then let's see here. So Garcelle comes up and she's talking to Dorit. She's like, oh, hello, you look great. And Dorit's like,
I'm look at me looking around in an accent of five. That was in French, Portuguese, and Spanish. And Italian.
The last time I saw Garcelle, she had implied that my home invasion was faked. And then we see, you know.
I forgot that she did that.
Yeah. And she goes, I don't really know where we stand, but I know it ain't good.
So Garcelle's like, well, I'm a little uncomfortable. And then it cuts to her. She goes, well, I'm going to keep it light. And I'm not going to talk about the big disc on her head. No, I'm not going to do it.
Yes, some things are not appropriate to bring up, like the fact that PK is now a full-blown alcoholic.
So Kyle, meanwhile, Kyle and Erica are in the SUV together and they're showing up. Kyle's also wearing antlers. And Erica has, this is where we see Erica's look, which is pretty amazing. And so Kyle's like, I'm nervous. So she's doing that thing where, you know, Kyle throws a stone and then is like, oops, I feel bad. I mean, like, we always talk about Gina saying, I feel bad. But the original I feel badder is Kyle.
So here they come, coming up to the surrealism party. And Erica's like, well, I guess antlers are just a thing now. And so lots of mois and air kisses and stuff like that. Alpaca. And Sutton and Erica say hello. And what's an alpaca anyway, guys? Mm-hmm. So then a man with fake money approaches Kyle and introduces a monkey. But this isn't the real monkey. Isn't this a pet monkey?
This is like a fake monkey, like a monkey puppet that he has. Yeah.
And he's like, this is Harold. So when Sutton has a party, you got to bring out Harold, right? I'm like, oh, God. It's one of those.
So, yeah.
So you're always bringing Harold to the parties? This isn't just even a surrealism thing? He's just the puppet person. No. No, sir.
So there's a lot of pleasantries, a lot of hellos, a lot of like, I'm going to go see the alpaca. That's what everyone does when they don't want to talk to someone. They're like, it's so great to see you, but I have to go take a photo with the alpaca. It's like, Sutton, that was your 10th photo with it. I know. I'm going to take another photo of the alpaca and get out of this uncomfortable situation.
So then, let's see. So hello, 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 hello. Oh, so Erica and Garcelle are talking about how busy she is. And Garcelle's like, oh, I'm just so proud. I mean, my age, been in it for so long, and just look at me. And she's like, oh yeah, I saw something on Instagram. It said Garcelle Productions. Oh yeah. So they do that. And so now it's like, what's going on with you guys? So Kyle's there now. And she's like, oh, well, you know, Mo moved out 2 weeks ago. And Garcelle's just like, wow. Wow.
And then Alexia
moved, right? Alexia moved right before that. So it's just been like, it's been a lot of changes. It's like a lot of people moving out. So
yeah, we almost put a chair out in the patio, but the door wouldn't open. So luckily that stayed the same, stayed inside. So Kyle's like, you know, I spend time with people, you know, that make me feel good. But I also want to like talk to everybody tonight. And like, since you're sitting here, Garcelle, I feel safe with you. And I'm just going to start with you, everyone. All the tabloids, you know, all the stories that are out there. I know there's a lot of curiosity about me, an actress who is in Halloween. And I know everyone wants to talk about that. And I'm not going to say her name intentionally that I've been linked to, because I don't want to speak on anybody's behalf but my own. But if we must talk about her, we must. And Garcelle's like, it's a little too late to not be able to say Morgan's name. We've been talking about her. She's been with us for a season.
Yeah. And then we get a clip of them hanging out. Morgan being like, oh, yeah, everybody's going to assume you're going to have like a midlife crisis or something with the extra tattoo, man. Like midlife crisis, right, Kyle? And Kyle, like flirting, you know, their whole flirting thing. So now Kyle has brought this onto the air. Kyle really has nerve, I'll tell you. So she's like, yeah, well, right now there's just nothing to say. And I just wish I had some story to say, but it's just not what it is. Okay, I would just like to point out, literally nobody has asked Kyle about Morgan.
No one has.
Nobody because cares.
I feel like it's a safe place, though, so I'm going to share. You know, the tabloids created an enormous amount of pressure and emotional distress. And the media, oh God, the media. And Carcel's like, yeah, but that music video you guys did wasn't helpful either. I mean, I felt like you were playing coy, Kyle. Thank you for being a safe space for me.
Getting shut down was so good because Garcelle's like, well, the music video didn't help. And Kyle just like looks down like, well, okay, just called you a safe space. So let me just get over that one again and I will continue my monologue about being a victim. Hold on one second. Because now,
remember, you're not supposed to challenge me because you're clutching my hand and I called you a safe space. So you're not supposed to do that. Anyway,
Garcelle, this is what I'm saying. You have to always keep Garcelle on this show in this role. Garcelle just needs to be here to call everyone out on their bullshit because it is so fucking funny. She shut Kyle down in 2 seconds. And Kyle's like, but wait a minute, please. I'm not only a victim today. I'm a possibly gay victim. So that's the ultimate victim cloak. So please, let me cloak myself. Garcelle's like,
God. It's not my place to talk about other people. And definitely, you won't hear me talking about Dorit at all. Or my sisters. Or really anyone on this cast. It's just not my place to do it. So Garcelle's like, Kyle doesn't know any of us or anybody about her sexuality or what's going on in her life. But do we want to know? Yes, yes, yes. Inquiring minds need to know.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to look up these Morgan Wade lyrics of the song that she wrote when they were in the Chateau Marmont doing coke off Kyle's stomach or something. Yeah. That alluded to that, but I can't find it. I'll try and find it for next time. They crack me up every time. And Kyle's just like, please don't ask me anything. Please, I can't answer any more questions. Please, the press. No one is asking you anything. Nobody cares.
Please don't make me speak for Morgan.
You haven't been a lesbian for a night. You just aren't even trying, you know? Come on, man.
Guys, I'm still trying to figure things out myself. I am. I still am. And I said the last time when we were all together, there was just so much for me to say. I couldn't even believe I even said that. So that was a flashback of Kyle saying that she's like evolving. And so then Kyle says this. This is so funny. She goes, I have never even questioned my sexuality. All my life I've been straight. And I always knew I was straight. I never was attracted to anyone else. I just was one big straight girl. But then I think all the crazy speculation, it actually made me think twice. So I learned it by watching you, America. You did this to me. I'm like, shut up. Speculation made her think twice.
But you were making the speculation happen. Nobody would have even known about any of this had you not brought it on camera and tried to rub it in everybody's face and make them ask you, Kyle.
When I was a centimeter from Morgan's lips in that music video, my hand on her hand, I could feel the dewy breath on my clavicle. I didn't question my sexuality then, but then when America was talking about it, I was like, you know what? Maybe I am gay. Maybe America has made me gay. Thanks a lot, America.
She's saying that she's not. That's the thing about her. Kyle's just saying multiple things at once. She's like, everybody thinks that we are, but we're totally not. But maybe I'm questioning it, but I have no idea. But blah, 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 blah. She's so full of it. She's trying to meter this out for another fucking season and another, you know, promotion of an album that's coming up. It's just so lame.
She's like, trying
gay
to
people out of it. Do something else. You know what I mean?
No, she's trying to
vagina or do like a typical housewife storyline, but to bring like gayness into it is just so performative and so ridiculous. I don't even believe it. I don't even think Kyle has enough emotion to even be gay or straight. I think at this point she's just like following the clicks. You know what I mean? It's just whatever she can get attention from. You're annoying.
I think that basically she is trying to get out of trouble, you know, because people are like, you know, like, if you're gay, just come out and say it, Kyle. Like, you're queer baiting, because people are saying that she's queer baiting, right? And this is her way of saying, I'm not queer baiting, because I thought I was straight. I've always been straight. And in fact, it was you people that made me start to think about being gay. So it's almost like you forced me to be the queer baiter. Like, that's kind of, I feel like, the vibe she's kind of giving us. I'm like,
it wasn't gay until the audience made it gay by questioning everything that she was doing, because she was purposely making it gay so people would question her. I mean, it's just like, whatever, Kyle. No one's falling for it. Just be quiet. So she's like, well, you know, and then my kids. And, you know, of course her kids are modern children. They're like, go for it.
Yeah.
Do it. And then she's like, and that's when I was the proudest ever. When my kids said, go for it. I was the proudest mother that I've ever been in my life.
But it's still not really, she still hasn't, there's nothing, it's still a little unclear, because she's sort of just alluding again. She's like, she says, it's scary for me to admit to myself. I told my daughters first. This is a big deal. My daughter said, go for it. I'm like, but she's still not outright saying anything. Like, it's like she's leaving it up to us to infer things. And what's annoying is that, like, she literally just then kind of almost made us try to make us feel guilty for inferring things. She's like, I wasn't, no, that wasn't me. It was only until you said it that I started thinking about it, but it wasn't me. So it's,
well,
like,
the thing that's so infuriating, and I already talked about this on the most recent Crappy Hour for people who are getting this as a repeat, sorry, but it's important to this conversation. Kyle just did a interview where she was saying, you know, in the LGBT community, you're not supposed to ask people about their sexuality. That is something that they have a right to come upon that discussion by themselves and this and that. Okay, Kyle, but, you know, to use this and make yourself a whole victim and try and drag the LGBT community into it and all of that is just not fair. It's not cool. And a closet a closeted person and everything that you're dealing with is one thing, but you're purposely coming on TV and making people question you and using a somewhat semi-celebrity to do it to get you clicks and points. And it's just gross. It's gross. You're purposely doing it. And then you're making everybody else into a homophobe for asking you about it. That's not cool. Like, fuck off. Yeah. Like, there's real homophobia and real shit that people are dealing with without you making it some shallow, stupid storyline for your little housewife show because you don't have anything going on. Quiet down over there.
Quiet down. So, anyway, they get focus on myself and, you know, all that usual stuff. And then Dorit walks over. She's like, hello. And I was like, thank God for Dorit with her big compact disc head right now.
Kyle's just trying to lay the groundwork for her victim storyhood. And Dorit's like, hello, I've got a record on my head. So she comes over and Kyle's just looking around, like licking her lips, like, ah, I mean, I awkward. So they air kiss and Dorit's like, so is that a weapon? And they're, you know, joking about each other's clothes and stuff. So then Boz and Amanda walk over to everybody's basically gathering now, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, maybe we join in, and Boz just takes that huge dress and plops herself down.
You know? Yes.
Just plops down in the middle of everybody. So then Dorit's looking at her phone. Kyle's looking around. And everybody's like, this is awkward. You know, really, really awkward. And Garcelle's like, you can cut the tension with a knife. So then Sutton and Garcelle go off to get a drink and stuff. And now it's time to have a talk. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, first, Kathy.
Well, it's awkward. What'd you say?
First, Kathy arrives, and she arrives in like a muumuu from the 70s. I'm not sure why that's surreal.
Nothing about this is surreal. So she gets there, and then she goes up to the table, and Boz is like, how are you? I'm Boz. And Kathy's like, oh, I know exactly who you are. I'm thrilled to meet you, boss. And then Dorit's like, Boz, Boz. No, it's the boss. I know it's Boz, but she's the boss. Boss. And Boz is like, that's fine. She's saying the boss. I'll take it. I will be the boss.
Yeah. So then let's see. So
then Kathy's Kyle's... like, it's so hot. Kathy's like, oh my God. All right. Well, now that I've had that little boss banter, huh, I'm hot. I got to take these extensions out. So then she just starts pulling out her extensions and she's like, oh, get them out. Get them out. Get them off of me. She's like, she's pulling them out and everything.
And Boz is just like, is she? Are you taking that out of your head? She's like, I can't breathe. Otherwise, I'm going to have to change. This, I just need to get him out. And so this lady is just staring at her like, what the hell? She says, we're in a ball, sister. And you're just going to take out these extensions out of your head? Your own head?
She's like, even if my wig had fallen halfway to the side, I'd be sitting here like this, holding it up. But like, for me to take it off and sit it on a chair, and then we see a shot of the extensions piled up on the little chair. She's like, she goes, when I say that I've never seen that in my life, I have never seen that in my life.
So then Sutton gives a speech about, you know, I just want you to know I'm rich. I'm very, very rich. Okay, now here's somebody named Yella. Let's see what she's going to do for us, okay? And it's a performer named Yella Cat, which Sutton just knows her so well. She can be like, here's my friend Yella. Hey, get up there, Yella. Last name Cat. So Yella Cat gets up there and she's like, hi, everybody. I'd like to sing a Morgan Wade single. My pussy's on fire.
She's like, power of the pussy. Girl, you gotta be choosy. Superpower pussy. That's right. Erica's like, yeah, this is what you call lyrics. Hello.
Erica's one of those when anybody else performs, she literally has to be in the front yelling back at them.
I'm a performer too. I got a song about pussy too, girl. Once, yeah. Oh, my favorite lyric. Pussy in the python. Tick, tick.
It's not the song, Erica.
You know, I do like something. I mean, do I get irritated with this woman and want to smack the shit out of her? Yes. However, she has great parties, and that's good enough for me for a friendship.
So Kyle's like, I'm actually speechless. That's more power of the pussy song. And then let's see, Kathy's loving it. She's like raising her arms, like, yo, it's power of the pussy. So
too
then,
black and white.
Now it's time for the talk. Kyle comes up to Dorit. She's like, do you have a minute? Maybe we could have a talk. So they go to have a talk. And Dorit just sits down and goes, coil, 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 coil.
First of all, I just would like to say I'm very sorry with what's going on with you and PK. I know we both have a lot of hurt and we both have a lot of different feelings, because I just want to remind you, even though you're going through a divorce, I'm going through something too, which is that you said something sort of mean about me at BravoCon. So I think it's kind of like the same thing. So anyway, we both have a lot of work to do.
She did nothing to you, unfortunately for you. I'm sorry, but we all have a TV. She got upset that you just stopped calling her and blew her off the minute you started dating Morgan or hanging out with Morgan. And you said it's because Dorit didn't like to hike and now you were healthy. And then when she said you were hurting her feelings, now you're trying to turn it on her after you've completely ditched her for now, what, over a year? And now you're just like, I know that we're both hurt and we both have feelings. No, this is all on you. Sorry. So, Dorit's like, well, you saying something on Ibzin Live was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And I've finally had enough. I've had enough of feeling like I'm tossed around like a salad, not eaten by PK, even though someone put effort into that, and used whenever you want to, and thrown away.
How do you say that? How can you say that?
Well, because I'm made to feel like I have to reevaluate whether we're friends. She's like, well, if you're gonna only be aggressive and not be open, and
Dorit doesn't even let her say honest. You're an aggressive ignorer and friend dumper.
Yeah.
Stop.
Okay, you know what? I'm having this, because Dorit's like, I don't want to hear it, Kyle. But I'm having this conversation, Dorit, because if I hope to get to the other side of this, she's like, well, let's try to start. Because it's going to take some time, Kyle. We're going to have to start being very, very honest.
Okay, well, I need you to listen now, okay? I need you to.
PK's a full-blown alcoholic. I just want to add that. Go on.
Why are you acting like this? She's like, I'm fed up, Kyle. I'm fed up. She's like, because I'm explaining myself. You're not explaining yourself. You're immediately making this, you did nothing wrong, so let's just move past it. It's not explaining yourself. And I love that Dorit's like, no. She's like, I thought we were going to be honest. Okay, let's be really honest and let's really talk about real stuff. And she's like, you're literally not even acting like you right now. Like, I don't even know what's going on with you. She's like, because I'm not putting up with your shit anymore, Kyle. I'm not doing it. And then Kyle just turns like to the cameras and makes a face like, oh, really? Yep. You better buckle in because nobody gives a shit anymore, Kyle. And I'm so excited.
Yeah, I cannot believe how bad of a friend Kyle is right now. Like, A, she downgrades the friendship, but even if she hadn't done, regardless, put that to the side, this is still your friend who's going through a divorce, and your first thing is to text PK, and then when you talk to your friend for the first time since this news comes out saying, I'm sorry about your divorce, but we're both going through things. Like, you know what? She is so shitty. It is wild.
It really is. But, you know, fun too, gotta say.
So fun.
So that was the first episode. Really good times. Thanks everybody for being here during this very special two-part episode. We'll be back tomorrow, well, later today or tomorrow, who knows, with some Real Housewives of New York and also Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and a bonus episode still for the week. So we'll be back soon. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.